Hey, I'm Dr. Abby Metcalf, and you are listening to the Relationships Made Easy podcast, and this is episode 62 coming at you today.
You are listening to the Relationships Made Easy podcast with Dr. Abby Metcalf. Change your relationship even if your partner won't do a thing.
And it's all about how relationships aren't fair. That's right. They're not. Nothing in a relationship is fair or equal if you look at it from a time perspective. Now, the problem with looking at your relationship from a time perspective is that it doesn't take into account the value of what's being done, irrespective of time. So I'm going to teach you the secret to focusing on the real value of your partner today. I'm also going to be giving you access to a freebie at the end of the podcast. It's something you can download if you want to cement what you've learned on today's show. And I'm really happy you're here. I know there's a lot of places you could be, so I love having this time with you. And today I'm going to be putting down yet another paradigm shift. Worldview shift in this whole month of us talking about how competition is screwing up your relationship. So if you haven't listened to the other podcasts in September, episode 1661, I hope you do. They all stand on their own, so you don't have to listen to them in any order if you're coming in now. But it'd be great to go back to those because September is competition month. That's what we're talking about and how competition is really screwing up your relationship. Now, before I jump in, I want to remind you to subscribe. Yes, please subscribe to the podcast. I am a broken record, but I am just here to torture you. That's part of the fun of my job. Please subscribe. It really helps get the word out about the podcast when there's more people who subscribe because it, you know, all those algorithms and all that other crap kind of help the podcast be seen by more people. And I want to help more people. I also hope you're sharing it with people that you think it would help. So I always appreciate that. And it's part of why I do this, to really get great information out to folks. Everyone should have access to great relationship information. So there you go. And I've also been doing a little listener highlight. And this one comes from Quinn D. And I'm pretty sure I know who he is. It's a he, I'm pretty sure. hi, Quinn. So thanks for writing a little review. That was awesome. And he said, fantastic podcast with useful and evidence-based information on a very complicated issue. Definitely added to my small list of preferred pilot podcasts. Highly recommend. Thank you, Quinn. I appreciate the love. I really do. It feels really good. It feels good when you guys say nice things. So if you have a bad review, don't leave it. I just want to hear the good ones. No. So if you actually have anything you want to see improved on the podcast or changed, I would love to hear that via a direct email because that's really the best way to chat with me. That way I can also ask you questions, you know, and sort of clarify what you might want to see more or less of. And you can do that at abby@abbymetcalf.com. Can't get easier than that. Got the easiest email in the world. Okay, so let's talk about this whole equal time doesn't mean equal value idea. And I call this, you've probably heard me talk about it before if you're a longtime listener, I call this the lions and hyenas effect. And basically, so you know how in a pride of lions, the females do the majority of the work, right? They do. The females do pretty much everything. The lionesses, they hunt, they care for the young, and that takes up a vast majority of their waking hours. It's, you know, even after they've made a kill, by the way, the males, the lions, they get the first go at the food. So even though the lioness is the one who kills it, the lions get to come in and eat first. So, and you know, while they're doing all that, all this taking care of the young and hunting and everything else, the guys are, the males are sleeping and lying around. So it seems unfair, no? If you look at it, you go, that's unfair. That's not right. Well, it's not unfair. You see, those lions, these male lions have a few, but very important jobs, which are vital to the survival of the pride. They just don't take as much time as the jobs the lionesses have. It just doesn't. So the males, of course, are all about defending and fighting off any other, you know, problem animals like hyenas and jackals and things like that, right? So when those hyenas and jackals come around, it is the lion's job to defend the cubs, to defend the food that the lionesses have brought down, defend the lionesses if needed, although they're pretty much a badasses that I don't think need a lot of defending. But this is a, and their job, of course, is to make babies also, right? Got to make babies. Got to have sex. They have to have sex. I know a lot of men listening are like, that's my dream job. This is great. But it's a big job. The two things they do are a very big deal. And it's no less crucial than what the females do. The fact that they don't have to do it as much as the females have to hunt or do what they do is inconsequential to the survival of the pride. The pride is not going to survive if the males aren't there to be baby daddies and to fend off these hyenas and jackals. So the pride wouldn't survive. It wouldn't survive without the females either, but that's the point. Both of them, even though the time they spend isn't equal, they both have equal value. So I want you to think of your own home. You and your partner both do things for the family, but it likely takes up very different amounts of time or energy. So regardless of the time you put in, both your jobs, quote unquote, are valuable, are highly valuable. Now, another point close to this is that equal time doesn't mean equal bandwidth or equal mental capacity. So I'm thinking, so I had this couple, we'll call, I always have to think of good names. We'll call them Marjorie and Don. And Marjorie was upset because she worked more hours than Don and she had a slightly longer commute. So she felt strongly that he should do the grocery shopping with his quote unquote extra time because they like to have, they like to grocery shop pretty often and get sort of, you know, fresh fish for dinner and fresh vegetables and fruit. They didn't like to like shop once a week for the whole week. So she's like, hey, you know, you get home earlier, you're there, you know, you've got more time than me, you should get the grocery shopping done. And that way it's all ready to go when we get home, when I get home. Now here's the problem. Don sucked at the grocery shopping. He was really bad. He couldn't remember what kind of milk they use, you know, right? 2% skim, what are all these milks? I remember that he didn't know about buying unsalted butter. He said in session, he goes, there's different kinds. I thought there were different brands. I didn't realize there were different kinds, like salted or unsalted butter. He had no idea. And you know, I remember Marjorie would get really upset. Like, you know, you're in our same kitchen all the time. You're opening that fridge. You don't notice that the milk says 2% on it. Like, how do you not notice that we always get the white one with the blue writing or whatever? But he didn't. These are not things that we're hitting. So in the end, it took much more energy and time for him to do the grocery shopping than for Marjorie. Because it would really stress him out. He'd go in there. He always felt like he was getting the wrong thing. She would get annoyed that she had to make a list that was so specific for him to pick up. Like, hey, you're a partner too. We're equal partners here. How come you can't do this? And it was actually creating a ton of contention between the two of them. And in the end, because it took so much more energy for Don to do it than Marjorie, it's not a good use of the couple's bandwidth. And remember, you guys are a shared battery. I spoke about this a couple of podcasts ago. You are one shared resource as a couple. Remember, you can't take things off your partner's plate because it's the same plate. So if you're giving this thing to Don, for example, and Marjorie's thinking, oh, that gets taken off my plate. It doesn't, number one, it stays on the plate. And number two, it actually uses more energy from the plate because it takes Don more time, more mental capacity, more bandwidth to do it than Marjorie. So it actually didn't make sense for Don to keep doing this particular chore. It doesn't mean he couldn't do other things, but it means that this one was really a crazy thing to do. Now, it can be though that over time, if Don kept doing it, for example, that maybe he'd get better at it or, you know, start to realize what kind of milk they use and start to pay more attention. For sure, that can happen. You can talk to your partners about that. But I have to tell you, for whatever reason, it didn't happen with him. He just couldn't quite manage it. And so it was getting like kind of crazy to keep pushing him to do this. So if you're a shared resource, you and your mate, then you're using up less resources in the relationship if you give that task to the one who does it better and easier, no matter what the task is. So, or remember, the other thing you can do is get the task off your shared plate completely. You can use Instacart, right? Have your groceries delivered. Whole Foods is practically everywhere now. You're right. You can order through your Amazon account and have the, I think it's actually cheaper. I've done it through Amazon. I think it's a little cheaper. No, none of them are sponsoring my podcast, but you can have Amazon deliver the groceries. I think it was like $7 or something. You can do other things. Now, granted, that would be expensive if you did it every single day, but you know, there's other ways you can kind of get around these issues, or you can decide, you know what? I know we like to eat fresh fish every day, but we can't right now because this is getting too complicated with all the other pieces. So you just really have to think through what makes more sense for you guys. But the point is that it's not about the hour to hour. It's about how your partner makes you feel. It's because if you look hour to hour, well, I do this and I commute this long and I, you know, you divide up your day with all those little hours and your partner is doing the same, and then you try to compare all the hours, you're screwed. Again, it's the lions and the lionesses, right? You can't compare their hours. Then it would look like the lions are a bunch of lazy slobs and they don't do anything. And you might be sitting there going, yeah, they are a bunch of lazy slobs. Well, they're not, you know, it's still valuable what they do and has equal value. The fact that it takes less time isn't really the point. So, and it's like that with your partner, I swear. So what else? I want you to think about it. What else do you get from your partner that's valuable besides their time?
If you're anything like me, you're bad at asking for help, like weirdly bad at it. I've been a busy gal for a long time now. Kids, partner, my own business, all the things that make for a full life these days. And my instinct always was to just white knuckle it and do it all myself. But I say it on this show all the time. Ask for help. You don't have to do it all. And meanwhile, there I was doing it all. And I finally changed all that, from my podcast editor to the person who got 10 years of photos off my phone and into albums I actually look at. I found amazing people to help me on Upwork, and I've been using them for the last 8 years. And you don't need a business for any of this, any project, any size, planning an event, sorting out something at home, finally handling the thing on your list you keep avoiding. Upwork lets you find, hire, and pay expert freelancers all in one place. With Business Plus, you can access the top 1% of talent on Upwork, and with AI-powered shortlisting, you'll get matched to the right freelancer in under 6 hours. No endless searching required. Visit Upwork.com right now and post your job for free. That's Upwork.com to connect with top talent ready to help you and your business grow. That's UPWORK.com, Upwork.com.
This is a big one. I always say that if you could hire someone to do the thing, you know, like the grocery shopping, then this isn't what makes you feel special with your partner. So stop focusing on it. If there's something you can hire out, then that's not about that person. If you can hire it, you know, if it's, you know, I only feel love when they walk the dog. Really? Really? Well, yeah, because they're doing that so I don't have to and I feel loved. I don't really think that's how you feel loved. I think it's because you don't feel loved in other ways that when those kinds of things show up, you go, oh, there it is. You could hire someone to walk the friggin' dog. Like, really? Like, you don't have any other way that you feel loved by your partner? There's nothing else? I actually have two clients I can think of who do this, who go get coffee in the morning, like the special latte, whatever that their partner likes when they're coming back from one from a run, one from the gym, and they bring it back for their partners who love coffee. And to me, that's a little different because I couldn't necessarily hire someone to do that one thing, that very specific small thing. And it's just like a nice thing to kind of throw in there. And the one guy doesn't even drink coffee. He just stops for her. It's kind of lovely. I think it's sort of sweet. It's a little different. She wakes up to this like fresh coffee that she loves, you know, in the mornings. And, you know, there's a way to me that even though that's like an action, and I guess technically you could hire someone to do it, but not easily. But it's very specific. It's a very specific kind of thing. But in general, I want you to think about the things your partner does that make you feel the things that you need to feel loved. And that's going to sound a little crazy because people go, well, love is the feeling, isn't it? It's like, well, no, there's things that happen that have you feeling loved, that lend itself to that. And most of that, I will tell you, is from how your partner acts, how they ask you questions, the interest that they show in what you talk about. So if your partner ran around all day, let's say you're a husband and your partner was running around all day, they cooked your favorite food, they picked up your dry cleaning, even though they were working full time and they got home before you and they always made sure that, you know, you had everything you needed, but never asked about your day, never asked about your life, never asked about nothing. Which showed no interest really in anything other than, you know, making sure you had food on the table that you liked. I don't know that you'd feel loved. I guess a very small percentage of you might, but I think most of you would not, because you could hire someone to cook the meals and to do all that other stuff. It's like, what does your partner bring? What do they bring to you? When they show interest in what interests you, when they, you know, laugh at your jokes, when you're having fun together, when you're, you know, doing, partaking in things together that you have a shared experience and shared like or love of. These are the ways that we build trust, intimacy, love, all those good things into the relationship. Not because my partner went and did this thing or bought me a gift. Again, those things are nice. I like gifts. My partner knows I like gifts, but that's not the way that I feel loved. You know, I feel loved when, you know, I get asked about like, how was work today? And what, you know, what did you do? What are you working on in your business? And oh my gosh, let's get ready for the TED talk. And I can't wait. And, you know, there's just so many other ways and things that he does that have me feel that way. And I'll tell you, a few years ago, I got an award. I got this award and there was at a breakfast, like there was like a big breakfast for it. And there was all these people there. It's probably, 150 people at this breakfast. And I had to get up and make a little speech and accept my little award. And Gary took the day off of work, you know, came to this breakfast in San Francisco, which, you know, is a little bit of schlep in the mornings and stuff. And then he took the, you know, and he filmed me and he was clapping. He was like so proud. He was introducing himself all over to everybody. And he was like clearly so, so proud of me. And then he took there was like something on the tables. I wasn't the only one getting an award, like four of us were. And they had this little, like, you know, like a little program kind of thing. Well, he took that. And he ended up making me, which is hanging in my office right now, he put it in a glass frame. Well, he put it in this frame and he etched on the glass my logo for my business. And he put it, like he got two of them actually. So the front, because they were front and the back of these cards. And he put them in, you know, the front and the back. And he framed this whole thing for me and hung it in my office. That I felt very loved and supported around all this. I felt like he was really happy for my win. He was proud of me. He took the day off of work. He showed up. He did not complain for a minute about being there or what he was missing at work. I mean, it was, you know, a pain in the butt. It really was. And he didn't even blink. And by the way, I didn't ask him to do it. He just was like, well, of course I'm coming. Of course. Oh, do I have to get, like, how do we get me a ticket? And how does that work? And he was all over it. And there's just a way. And then he went to all this trouble afterwards in a very specific way to show me how proud he was. And, you know, come on. So if, you know, if for some reason he hadn't taken out the garbage or something else, like you got to really break this stuff down, guys. And you have to really think, like, where is it and how is it that I feel loved, respected, and honored by my partner? So really think about where, not just where, so sorry, really think about what your partner's contributions are, right? I can't imagine that you got together and decided to call this person your husband, wife, girlfriend, or whatever, and it's because they shopped well or cut the grass great. I just don't think that's true. I really don't. I think you found this person because there was something else. What's really important to you about your partner, and how can you shine the light of them contributing that thing? So if you're looking for your relationship to be fair, you need to shift your worldview. And they are fair if you look at it from a different way, but you can't look at it from the time. Relationships are not 50-50. They're 100-100. The key is that you should only be focusing on putting in your 100%. Do not focus on what your partner is or isn't doing, because that's the keeping score and competing. This comes from a fear mindset. I talk about this a lot, you know, and you can't have a love relationship based on fear. Can't do it. Can't do it. So now I know what you're thinking right now. You're thinking, but Abby, what if he takes or she takes advantage of me? What does that even mean? Are you serious in a relationship where this is your big worry? Here's what I know after over 30 years of doing this work, over 30, that's not going to be an issue. Now, I'm not talking to anyone whose partner has some sort of severe personality disorder, such like narcissism or something, but that is not the majority of you listening. It's really not. That's actually a very small percentage of the population. I know we throw that word a lot around these days, but it's very small. I know that if you really, really think about this, I'm talking to the vast majority of you who are married to regular old, possibly a little self-absorbed people, okay? Just regular old people. And to all of you, I can say the more you give, the more you're going to get. I see it all the time. So what happens generally is that you're doing whatever you're doing with your partner and, you know, putting something like helping or whatever. This is what happens a lot. Let me back up. Sorry. This is what, see, I don't edit the podcast. So you, when I'm gathering my thoughts, you just have to stay with me. So here it is. When I get this a lot, people come to the office and I give them some great tool like this. I say, okay, start putting in 100%. Don't focus on what your partner's doing. Just put in 100%. And they go, okay, Abby. And they run off and they do that. And they come back and they say, it didn't work. I tried it. It didn't work. And I'm like, what happened? And here's what happens. They go home and they try this 100% thing. They're doing, they're making things happen, all that great stuff, right? But in the back of their minds, they're still keeping score. They're going, okay, I'm doing this. She said the 100% because now I'm waiting for them to put in their 100%. I'm looking for their 100%. Now, remember, I've said it once, I've said it 1,000 times, your conscious brain processes information at a rate of 50 bits per second, while your unconscious brain is processing information at a rate of 11 million bits per second. 11 million versus 50. So here's what happens. That energy that you're putting out where you're kind of waiting for your partner to show up differently, you know, you're giving conditionally. You say it's unconditional, but it's not. I'm speaking to you very frankly right now. I love you so much, but this is the truth of what happens so often. So you say you're doing one thing, but you're really thinking another. And because you're kind of waiting for them to show up, you know, to put up or, shut up kind of thing, they pick up on that. Your partner picks up on that. And so they see you doing all the things. They see you doing all the wonderful things, but they're picking up on that other energy. And so they consciously think, they literally think, or even unconsciously, depending on the person, they go, yeah, she's being really nice now, but let's see how long this lasts, right? Oh yeah, he's saying all the right things right now, but you know, I know he's going to screw up. That's what's going on. So because of that, the partner doesn't do anything. They don't act in kind. They're sort of waiting too. They're kind of waiting. They're like waiting for the other shoe to drop. They're waiting for you to stop doing the wonderful things you're doing because they know, quote unquote, it's going to stop. You're doing all the wonderful things, but they're not acting the way you want them to act. They're not changing. They're not putting in. You start to feel taken advantage of. And so you stop doing the things. You go, this doesn't work. This doesn't work. And then they go, oof, thank God I didn't change. Cause see, I knew it. I knew this wasn't going to last. And then we're back in the cycle. This is happening to you all the friggin' time. All the time. You are in a cycle with your partner where you are, again, in this subtle thing of kind of waiting on them. Because again, it's the competition. You're doing the thing, but you're waiting for their 100%. They're only giving 50%. That's not right. You're comparing, you're making lists, you're doing all the stuff you're not supposed to do. And they pick up on that. And that's why they act that way. So your job is to get out of this. Your job is to make sure that things align. If you're going to give 100%. Don't even watch what they're doing. Don't worry about what they're doing. If you're truly going to put in 100% and stop competing, then stop. then truly stop and start really just acting as if. So don't look for your relationship to be fair, and definitely don't look at the quantitative stuff like the time spent, the money earned, the amount of things someone does. Instead, I want you to focus on the qualitative stuff. This is the, how does your partner make you feel? What value do they contribute to you and your household outside of things you can count? What's actually most important to you? These are the things I want you to answer, and this is what's going to change your relationship. So, okay, so to really cement all this fabulous learning you've had today, I want you to find 15 minutes and complete a little quick sheet that I created called My Partner's Real Value. So you're really identifying your partner's real value to you so you can start focusing on it. And you can come on over, baby. I'm sure that's a song that I'm singing really badly because I can't sing. Okay. So come on over to the website, abbymetcalf.com/podcast. This is episode 62, and you can get this free download about your partner's real value. It's a little quick sheet. It's going to take you to download it, and to do it, it's probably going to be 15 minutes. That's it. And I want you to take this 15 minutes and do this, and then start focusing now where the focus should be. All right. That's it for today, everybody. I will talk to you next week.
Thanks for listening to the Relationships Made Easy podcast at www.abbymetcalf.com.